Good morning.
Sensei.
You know, in our lineage, if you wind up studying koans with a teacher, there's probably somewhere near 300 koans to be taken up before you're finished. And out of those 300 koans, there's a few koans that are particularly moving or insight-provoking. And in many ways, they shape the way, if you become a teacher, the way that you teach. The initial koan in the study of koans is the koan mu. It's a very simple one. It's a question, does a dog have Buddha nature? The response is mu, which is sometimes defined as no thing or nothingness or just plain no. And so the question is, if everything has Buddha nature, how can you answer, does a dog have Buddha nature, with no? And so it unfolds. And one of my all-time favorites, or the one that was probably the single most moving koan, which I've mentioned probably 100 times now, is the koan I'm going to talk about again today. The koan itself is found in what's called the Book of Equanimity. And this koan is one of several 100 koans, as I've mentioned, that students use in their study of Zen. And as you probably already know, koans are typically short stories or dialogues that are used to prompt the student to have a fresh experience of reality, one that's not clouded by habit or preconception. And the term koan literally means public case. So in this case, I'm going to discuss case 20 in the Book of Equanimity, which reads as follows. Zen Master Jizo asked Hogen, "Where are you going?" And Hogen answers, "I am on a pilgrimage." And Jizo asks, "Oh, so what's the purpose of your pilgrimage?" And Hogen answers, "I don't know." To which Jizo responds almost immediately, "Not knowing is the most intimate." So this whole experience really becomes a notion, but initially it's an experience of not knowing being most intimate. My talking about it today is really a prelude to my next talk, which will be on impermanence and the relationship between not knowing intimacy and impermanence. So I'm laying the groundwork today. So many teachers, including myself, have made this one phrase, not knowing is most intimate, the heart of their teaching. And in this koan, Jizo is not just asking Hogen about a pilgrimage, but really about life itself. What is the purpose of life? Why are we born? Why do we die? Why is our life so difficult? And Hogen simply and directly says, "I do not know." And when we don't know, our mind has no obstructions. We are in direct relationship with everything that is. There is no separation. Don't know. We are unclouded. One of Japan's greatest Zen teachers and poets, Ryokan, said, "Look around. There is nothing besides for just this." Right? There's a moment when I say, "just this," when all you hear is, "just this." And then the mind goes into its normal behavior, which is to create a bunch of ideas and references. So as soon as we impose meaning or explanation, we are, as we say in Zen, placing a head above our own. To see reality clearly, we must suspend everything we think we know. 14th century Zen master Basui tells us, "Look directly. If you look in this manner, you will not be fooled. Look without preconception." Jizo's not knowing is not the opposite of knowing. This is very important. Not knowing is not the opposite of knowing. It is both knowing and not knowing at the same time, and at the same time beyond knowing. And that's because it's free of all categorization. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "All thoughts of a turtle are turtle." This means that when we are attached to our preconceptions will be all that we see. If we surrender to not knowing, we will have a different experience, not a different idea, a different experience. We will be free to be surprised, free to listen, free to respond as needed, or free to do nothing at all, if that's what's called for. Gertrude Stein said, in true Zen fashion, "There ain't no answer. There ain't never going to be no answer. There never has been an answer, and that is the answer." If we go back to case 20, we will remember that Jizo connected not knowing with intimacy. So what does not knowing have to do with intimacy? In order to answer this question, we must look more closely at how our mind functions. The mind that knows is the mind that names things. It is the mind that identifies this as a shirt, this as the floor, that as a window, one person as a man, another as a woman, and so forth. This mind also categorizes the things that it names. Floors, windows, doors are part of a building. Certain people, based on their characteristics, are friends. Others are enemies. The mind does this to everything that comes into its awareness. And this process of naming and categorizing creates the experience of a world that is made up of discrete parts, each separate and distinct from each other. The consequence of this activity of the mind is as profound as it is subtle. And because of this activity, we feel alone and alienated from each other and from the world around us. This activity of the mind creates the sensation, the feeling, the experience of separateness. Zen practice is the antidote to this way of experiencing the world. The practice of Zazen, of sitting meditation, eventually stills the knowing mind. The mind is empty of names and categories. And this experience, this realization, is what we commonly call enlightenment, or kensho, or insight, or transcendence. I prefer to say that we become intimate, because it conveys a sense that our relationship with everything is deeper, closer, and as a result, more loving, more open-hearted. The word intimacy expresses what the experience actually feels like in our body and mind. Zen Master Dogen expressed the essence of intimacy when he said, "We should handle each grain of rice as if we were handling our own eyes. We should handle each grain of rice as if we are handling our own eyes." My God, what a beautiful expression of intimacy. If we are truly intimate, this is the way we should relate to everything, including each other, relating with the loving tenderness that everything is our own eyes. At its heart, then, Zen is about intimacy. Intimacy with self, with others, with life as it is. So when we sit, we should sit in the simplest and most direct way. Sit in the space before knowing arises, but not sitting to gain some experience, not sitting to gain something or to come to some understanding. Just sitting in non-conceptual awareness. Thank you.